Do illegal immigrants have the right to bear arms when they're in the United States? This is a subject that's just sparked a flame in the public arena, and that last month, a judge issued that they did, in fact, have that right. A lot of Second Amendment advocates loving the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, are saying, yeah, this is a God-given right. And so who are we to say that an illegal immigrant, doesn't matter who you are, because the rights are natural, God-given rights to freedom of religion and speech and Second Amendment. And so who would we be to deny anyone, whether they're a citizen or not? How could we be so hypocritical? Other people, though, will say, well, yeah, they're not citizens, though. The whole subject would be completely moot. They're not allowed to be here, so it doesn't matter whether they would or wouldn't have the rights. The whole issue is moot. And so this is the public debate that rages. Now, inside this argument is a very, very clever bait and switch. And we need to tune in. I'm going to go through some arguments, and then we will not only land the ship on this issue, you'll find exactly what I think, and also why I think that's true and how to argue it. But you also experience a major hot topic that broke this last weekend. Extremely upsetting. Many of you are already guessing what that hot topic is. And then we have Q&A ambush questions, a whole bunch to answer that you've sent in. And so we're going to enjoy that. And we'll wrap up this episode with dad jokes, which you and I love because dad jokes are life and they're lit. But we can't do anything until we do our obligatory title package. Here we go. All right, my friends, welcome. I can't see you. I'm just looking at a camera lens, but brothers, I love you. I'm glad you're here. That's a personal note. It's not in my notes, but I just felt it. And so I get to do whatever I want. This is my microphone. I get to say whatever I want into it. And so that's how we started the episode today. Love you guys. It is a weird world out there. And man, it is a dystopian Orwellian hellscape at the moment. But I'm glad we got fellow poets like you guys out there. Thanks for holding the line in your area. And now diving in. Herberto Carvajal Flores, whose name I said wrong, is an illegal alien that was charged for illegally possessing a gun. This happened just last month, where an Obama-appointed judge, Justice Coleman, argued that Carvajal Flores was not a risk to the public because their criminal record didn't include improper use of a firearm. And therefore, the Second Amendment should not be denied for Flores. Now, for my part, I've got to say that I really like something about this, and I despise another piece of this. The first part is I have a progressive judge actually upholding some type of Second Amendment right. I like that she's arguing for the Second Amendment. Now, if this was just a Caucasian white dude, I think she would immediately be like, nope, you're not allowed to possess. It seems that progressives would like to arm all the wrong people. It's like wide open border, cartels. We got no problem with that. That's fine. Fentanyl, yep, no issues. And then Christians praying in an abortion clinic, lock them up forever. You know, it's like that's just the inverted, duplicitous justice system we are recognizing. But still, I like that she is recognizing Second Amendment rights. What I don't like is that she doesn't understand what an American is and what America is in general. America is a people that are gathered together around a constitution. And we have a government by the people and for the people. But it is exclusively for we the people. If Judge Coleman was actually a good judge, and she is not, she would know that the highest court of the land, the Supreme Court, which is tasked with interpreting the Constitution, weighed in on this exact issue regarding who is we the people. Well, in a case of D.C. versus Heller, they ruled that the people refers to all members of the political community. Now, foreigners, by definition, are not part of the political community. They're someone else. So there is such a thing as we the people, and that's those who are under the Constitution, and then there's everyone else. So to understand this more clearly, we're a nation that is protected by laws. We have natural laws that are given by God, but the government, who is tasked to be able to protect those rights, you don't get the protections of that government for the natural rights that come from God when you aren't part of we the people. It's as if you have a home, and in your home, there's a rule. Anybody can eat of the pantry or refrigerator whenever they want. So your kids eat, and you eat, and your spouse eats, and that's good until one day somebody breaks in your house, and you find them rummaging through your fridge, elbows deep, and you look at them, and they look at you, and you're just kind of like, what? I'm like, you can't get in. You can't be in here. Get out of here. I'm like, no. All inhabitants of this house are allowed to have God-given right to food. I'm just doing food. I have the right to food. It's a natural right. I'm like, yeah, natural right or not, you're not allowed in my house. This is my house. This is my food. Get out. And so you have a border, as it were. This is your home, and it doesn't belong to everyone else. Everyone can't just come in and loot you whenever you want. Well, a country is just a bigger home, and it has rules that exist for those that have agreed to live in that household. That's our Constitution. And so if they're not part of we the people, they don't get to claim any rights. Our natural rights, protected by our government, extend to our people. But it's not like we extend that by default and protect those rights for all people everywhere. It's not like when I was fighting the Taliban in the desert, we had some DEI unit following closely behind to make sure that we were yelling out Miranda rights before we took terrorists into custody and gave them their one phone call so that they could be able to call their attorney. This is lunacy to be able to extend all American rights to all people on the basis that they are natural rights. It is the duty of those governments to be able to protect their natural rights. But to just say, hey, we have a physical border and we have an ideological border. Now, the idea of border is breaking down, and that's why this is confusing for the first time in history. This has always been something that could have been confused. But now that our border is evaporated, it is gone, physically speaking, ideologically, it's starting to disintegrate as well. That's why you're having friction. This always could have been an issue, but it only is now, and that's the psyop. You are losing what it means to be an American. Now, here's what I find upsetting. There's some folks that are freedom-loving Second Amendment activists who are thinking that, no, it's fine. This is a good win for Second Amendment. I'm like, no. In trying to extend the Second Amendment to non-citizens, you're actually losing your country because you're tacitly saying it's okay for illegal immigrants to come in without any citizenship and claim all of our amendments. Don't you see that you're ideologically erasing the country? You're for a physical border, but you're making an argument in case that an ideological border doesn't exist. That ideological border is called the Constitution. And if you erase it, the Second Amendment doesn't stand on anything anymore. It is for we the people and no one else. That's our country. It's God-given rights, but it is our Constitution that frames out the political protections of that. And they're not in that. They don't get constitutional protections. They're not part of the constitutional we the people. Now, for my part, let me cut to the chase here. The whole conversation is completely moot. It's a non-starter for this reason. They're not allowed to be here. You're an illegal alien. You're not allowed to be here. And you can say, well, can I have a gun? No, you can't have a gun. You can't be here. Well, can I have a job? No, you can't have a job. You can't be here. Can I get a driver's license? No, driver's license, nothing. You can't be here. No, immediately deportation. And so what happens when we start entertaining even the question, I'm like, well, can an illegal alien have a gun? We're skipping over the crux of the question, accepting tacitly the illegal alien during our midst. And now we're assigning what rights under the American privileges and protections are we going to afford to this? I'm like, no, they're not American citizens. They don't have any protections as American citizens. We're not denying their natural God-given rights. As America, if you'd like to be here, love to have you. We're a country of immigrants. So we love immigrants. We are immigrants. But there's a process. That's it. This allows us from being overrun by terrorists, enemies of the people who would like to come in, whether they're gangs or cartels. We have no idea who's just streaming over our border, but we know some of them are absolutely dangerous. They're raping and killing innocent people. And so if you have an unchecked border where all kinds of sociopaths can come across the border and do violent acts against peace-loving Americans, that's a real big problem. And so we have a process for becoming an American citizen. Now, once you're with us, I don't care where you're from. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care any of that. Immigrants, welcome. Yeah, come on, people. That's wonderful. We are a nation of immigrants. So the left, in a desire to build a straw man argument and make all conservatives or libertarians some boogeyman that despises other cultures and peoples, it's a complete lie. We care about protecting the innocent from people who wish them harm. We don't care about the color of your skin or any of that stuff. We're not xenophobic or whatever phobia that you would like to put on us. We just don't want bad people to hurt innocent people. And we want you to follow a process to be able to come legally into the country. This is a due diligence and a vetting process.
No, so while your heart can be warm to the situation, the circumstances surrounding why that gentleman would want to acquire and carry a firearm during the Floyd riots, while your heart can warm to that, the fact of the matter is, as long as you can be repatriated back to a country, that is your country. You're not an American.
That's your country. Absolutely. It's a good point, Ben. I like that. So we're not trying to deny natural rights, but we are accepting there is such a thing as America. We do have a border, both physically and ideological, that goes around a constitution so that we, the people, come together in a common belief set. And of that belief set, there are certain protections and privileges. There's a pathway for you to join our ranks and love to have you. We are open arms. There's the Statue of Liberty in New York City, and it stands there as a monument of freedom and of hope and of basic welcome to the rest of the world. It was a monument given by France, and there was a poem that was conducted. And since we're Warrior Poet Society, I thought it'd be fun to read this poem. Have you read this poem?
Nope, no idea.
It's on the base of the Statue of Liberty, and it's pretty awesome. Let's read it. It goes, "Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land." This is a allusion to the Colossus statue in Rhodes, Greece, which was this massive dude standing over their port, and you'd have to sail in past him. And it was kind of a symbol to conquest and power. And so this, called the Second Colossus, stands in a juxtaposition to that. And instead of a symbol of power and conquest, the Statue of Liberty stands as a monument to liberty and friendship and into welcoming the people of the earth. And so here it goes on. "Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame." That's New York City and Brooklyn. "Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp," cries she with silent lips. "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door." And I love that. I mean, it's an anthem of mercy and welcome and charity and grace and freedom, the noblest of virtues. And so I appreciate this poem. I like this. But what this doesn't mean is, hey, guys, welcome the fox into the hen house, because that's a hateful thing to do to all the hens. All the hens will immediately get killed. And so what it's not talking about here is invite the psychopath to come share a bedroom with your teenage daughter. It's not saying, you have a sheep pen. Invite all the wolves in so that they may eat the defenseless animals under your care.
Yeah, what I hear in that poem is I hear a new bargain. I hear a different bargain that you can belong with.
Yeah.
As you leave behind your old life and you come to start your new life here.
Right, but she is welcoming the oppressed, not the oppressor. Mm-hmm. But what can happen is there is a tyranny that's happening now from the bottom up, as the victims are exalted and now are tyrannizing the normal folks below them. So it's inversely flipped upside down. DEI initiatives are now crushing companies.
Yeah. And that's not an American bargain. That is a Marxist bargain. As you've mentioned before, you are absolutely bang on with that too.
So here's the problem, guys. It's when you good people who are compassionate, who are loving, you are manipulated where people take your compassion and they turn it against you. It's all done in the guise of this is the loving thing to do. But the rulers that are pushing you to this, they don't have your interest at mind. They don't love you. They don't care about you. They don't care about the love of it at all. They care about control. They care about taking from you. As the Marxists will say, you do your fair share. And that is a license. It's a crack in the door so that they can come in, take everything that you have. So everything belongs to the state and they crush everything that you have. All done under the guise of it's for your best interest that we seize all of your stuff. It's theft. That's exactly what it is. And what I would like to do is be able to, no. I want to keep my stuff so that I can be gracious and giving and charitable and benevolent. But if you take that over, you make me a slave to the state. And now my ability to act in the ways of Christian charity or goodwill or kindness or anything isn't going to be able to do. I can't even provide for my own family now. Now we're back to Soviet breadlines. And so it's under the guise of virtue that we are becoming enslaved. And this is just another way that that's being done. And it's also a way that we can destroy our country. Is if you eliminate a border, if a country doesn't have a border, physical and ideologically, the country no longer exists. And that's the goal, is to recreate America in their own image in a way that they can control it easily. Guys listening on podcast or watching on YouTube, thanks so much for tuning in. This episode is not even close to over. We have a Q&A ambush. We have a hot topic. We have our dad jokes, all kinds of juicy stuff. And so I'd ask you to help support us. You go to watchwpsn.com. That is watchwpsn.com. There you can sign up. You'll get the rest of the show. You get all of our other shows. You get all of our training classes. It's a great way to support us, and you get incredible entertainment and knowledge share that's better than whatever woke stuff you were going to do or scrolling your life away on social media. So support us there, and thanks for tuning in, guys. See you.